You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're almost 2 weeks past the primary, with all eyes set on the November general, an election that could determine control of the House of Representatives, with Democrats looking to flip a handful of Republican seats. It's also just over a year since the first No Kings protest took place, with millions of people taking to the streets across the country, including here in Sacramento, to protest the Trump administration. But getting people involved in the political process for the long haul can be a challenge, as many voters and just people feel overwhelmed with information, don't know where to turn, or may just be apathetic about the choices that they face. A new book called We Are the Power aims to make activism easier to accomplish. Its author is an environmental lawyer and progressive activist, Gary Lux, who joins us now. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Gary. How did you get involved in politics?
Well, I started about 1980 on my first campaign and have been working on campaign, turning out the vote for every 2 years since. And I lived in Sacramento for a while and walked precincts and made phone calls there. My preference is to do policy work, where I've had opportunities to write briefing papers for Governor Newsom and legislators in the Capitol, and writing about and writing legislation. But you can't do that policy if you don't have power. And so it's just a necessary part of service as I've seen it. And in 2004, when John Kerry narrowly lost his race for the presidency, I started an organization called Progressive Action East Bay, where I now live in the Bay Area. And we worked hard to return the gavel to Nancy Pelosi in 2006 and Obama in 2008. But what I learned was that complacency is the enemy. And we all became complacent after 2008. And 8 years later, here we are. And so I then started a indivisible group called the Resistance Action East Bay in 2016. And we are now about 1,200 volunteers. And a lot of what I have in the book is road-tested strategies that we found really can work for our little star in the constellation of effort to fight MAGA and win back and power and hold on to democracy.
So the book was really sparked by the complacency that you observed over the last, you know, maybe like 15 years or so.
Well, the book is just really the roadmap of road-tested strategies that we've determined really work. So complacency really was the driver for starting the indivisible group. And then from there, we've just been raising money and turning out the vote, activating volunteers and helping people feel like they're part of the solution. And I call it political therapy. Just, you know, there's so much feeling of powerlessness and worry. And by just tapping into an organization, whether it's an indivisible group or some of the many great NGOs or even the Democratic Party at the state or federal level, there are opportunities for people to really be part of the solution. And there's so many people who are lapsed activists who feel lost and demoralized and powerless since 2024. And the book is an opportunity to be inspired with opportunities, regardless of where you live. If you're, you know, in the Sacramento area in the bluer part, or you're more in the foothills in the purple to red areas, or not far in Modesto and Stockton and in the, you know, Central Valley and purple areas, there's something for you, whether you're in a red, purple, or red district. And other than just protesting, because you mentioned we're 1 year since the No Kings first protest. And, you know, that was fantastic. And it's an opportunity for people to feel engaged and feel among kindred spirits and, you know, to be creative with costumes or signs. But at the end of the day, we have to do so much more. The day after No Kings, I was at a farmer's market handing out flyers, which we do every weekend on how to activate voters and get people involved. And I handed a flyer to a woman on Sunday. And she said, well, I just showed up and had a great time at the No Kings protest the day before. And she said, basically said, you know, indicated, well, I've done my part. And you know, we have to do so much more than that if we really want to defeat MAGA and hold on to our democracy, which is why there's so much more we can do if you see protests as a tactic, as Ezra Levin says, the founder of National Indivisible. It's a tactic, but it's not a strategy. And we need to do so much more than just showing up for a protest, posting our pictures and calling it good.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, this book, you are a progressive activist, but this book, you know, applies to people living in red, blue, or purple areas of the state. California is politically diverse, and this is a time when there's just a lot of divisiveness, a lot of polarization, a lot of people not talking about politics or broaching the subject because someone may have different views than them, someone may have voted differently than them. I guess, how do you reach out constructively to people who may hold very different political beliefs and opinions than you may have? And what role does that play in, you know, efficiently being an activist and organizing?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that, you know, the disinformation has really brought people apart and in their corners. And, you know, that's a much longer battle, which needs to be fought. But because this is where we are, there's a book that a friend, Bill Shireman, wrote called We're in This Together. And he points out that essentially 70% of us agree on 90% of the issues. You know, 90% of the people, give or take, care about gun safety, right? But the 15% on the extreme left and on the extreme right represent 30% that will never agree. But the 70% that are representing a majority care about most issues. So there's so much common ground, but the disinformation, for example, just brings us apart. So, you know, I have a chapter in there about disinformation and how you navigate that. And, you know, we have to begin with common ground and realize that there's so much that we all share together. And that can break down some of the barriers because everyone cares about, you know, the economy and safety in the streets and kids, your kids' future. So you don't basically attack the person for their message or their point of view, but you begin by, you know, finding the common ground, and you can take it from there. And there's more in the book about how we can do that. The other thing that's related is the idea of deep canvassing. And, you know, most people, when they canvass and knock on doors, you're preaching to the choir, not having to persuade. And that is pretty comforting for a lot of people who don't want to talk to strangers, but as long as you're not having to persuade someone, it's a much easier opportunity. But then the longer game is deep canvassing and, you know, Swing Left, an organization nationwide, does a lot of deep canvassing, and they begin with the idea of just listening and starting from there.
Hmm. The reality is President Trump won the majority vote in 2024. More Californians voted for him in 2024 compared to 2016. When it comes to the mobilization and activism of conservative groups, how are they effective? Are there any learning lessons there?
Yeah, well, they have advantages that we need to focus on as well. You know, the one advantage they have, which we discussed a moment ago, is just the disinformation. And, you know, they speak to people's emotions and fear, and that divides us and energizes people through emotional messaging. I think that the pro-democracy movement needs to borrow the same concept in the sense of speaking authentically to people's emotions and have that resonate, because oftentimes, you know, the Democrats and progressives speak in wonky terms that just don't resonate emotionally or otherwise with people. So it's back to messaging. And I think people will be energized and more motivated if they believe the messenger is speaking authentically. And instead of poll testing the message, which I think is done way too much, there needs to be a focus on just speaking your values and just leaning into your values. And I think people resonate with that, and they see through the poll tested messaging. So I think that's part of it. And then the advantage I think the opposition has had, and especially has this time around, is a giant war chest. And you know, the Democrats have been able historically, or more recently, been able to close that gap through small donations or donors, but and that's allowed it to be a more balanced level playing field. But this election is going to be much different. There's just no limits on the dark money and the oligarchs and the wealthy donors have a war chest. And people have been so disenchanted, that is, with the Democratic Party, they've not been donating. And so if we are to be able to mount a successful campaign that must be a wave election, it can't be a close election, we need to start raising money now and supporting the Democratic Party and supporting the 80 organizations I list in the book that work in partnership with the Democratic Party in a synergistic way.
Yeah, I mean, even in a state that is deep blue, like California, there are many Californians who are not happy with the direction that California is going in. You know, affordability, cost of living, huge issues, a widening gap, you know, disappearing, you know, middle class. I mean, this has been a Democratic run state for decades. It's a super majority. We haven't had a Republican governor in 20 years. I mean, what do you think needs to be improved on the Democratic side? There's even intra-party fighting as well. I mean, you have younger progressives taking on establishment Democrats in this midterm as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's ultra super majorities in the legislature, but you know, it's not as monolithic as you would think. Just because there are, you know, there's different flavors of Democrats, from more business friendly, somewhat more conservative Democrats in the Central Valley versus the Bay Area and elsewhere. So, I think the bottom line is we have to row together and stop the internecine fighting. And you know, it's back to the idea of the big tent. And there, as I said earlier, you know, 70% of us, regardless of your political stripes, care about a lot of the same issues. So we just need to be that big tent. And, as I mentioned a moment ago, people are so disenchanted with the Democratic Party, whether it's in California or outside. And, you know, there's a new, you know, Ken Martin's leading the Democratic Party with a 50-state strategy where for decades, the party's only focused on 7 battleground states and has ignored California and all the other 40-some states. And that has happened at its peril, because in other states in particular, they don't have the two chambers like we do here in California and the governor's mansion. And because they've not invested in the local level, they've lost the opportunity to appoint justices to the state Supreme Court and to have a fair opportunity to have fair districts in the decennial redistricting. So there's an organization called the States Project that I write about, and they're a great organization, and they're investing in states where they've been ignored for the last several decades, because we can't just focus on 7 states. And it's a long game to build the bench and to build the power back at the state level as well. So I think we just have to be a big tent. We have to invest. We can't be having a circular firing squad. And we need to be investing in organizations like the States Project, who are focusing on a 50-state solution, which aligns with the new Democratic chair's focus, Ken Martin, as well.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Gary Lux about his new book, We Are the Power, about getting more people politically engaged. In the last couple minutes that we have, someone's listening to this. Maybe they've been sitting on the sidelines. They want to get politically engaged, don't really know where to start. You have lots of strategies in your book. Where's a good starting place for someone?
Yeah, I think no matter where you sit, everybody has time, talent, skills, and resources to weigh in. You know, whether you're a college student, a retiree, or, you know, working a day job, or a lawyer, artist, or musician, there's so much we can all do, and there's so many things to share, but I have a menu of choices. And Most importantly, I think people are feeling alone and lost. And one way to start is join an organization. And I list 80 of them, anywhere from a local Indivisible group, Activate America, which is a great organization that works on swing districts across the country. And our Indivisible group gave the first seed money to start them, of which we're quite proud. There's Commit to Democracy, Swing Left, the States Project I just mentioned, Flip the Vote, and many others. So people should join an organization, because that's where you get the connection with opportunities that are localized, that serve where you stand in your blue, purple, or red region. And so that's an opportunity to weigh in. So join an organization. I call it political therapy. Civic joiners are healthier, happier, and more resilient. And it's really the antidote to anxiety. So yeah, lean in and join one of these organizations. And then the other things you can do, it's kind of straightforward, but as I said, there's a war chest that the opposition has, and we need to raise money. And by joining one of these organizations, there's opportunities to weigh in. And we were planning a big fundraising concert in 2020, and we were really closing in with Bonnie Raitt and David Crosby and other musicians, but COVID derailed it. And then we morphed that into what we call Parties for Democracy, which is basically leveraging people's networks on virtual fundraising parties. And each party averages $10,000 in an hour of a Zoom call and 4 or 5 hours of planning. We have a whole toolkit on how you can do that. We raised just $450,000 in 3 months in the summer of 2020. And we work with you. It's on our website with a toolkit. So that's something that people can do. It just raise money and be a host, help your friends know where to give their money and have fun doing it. And then lastly, I'll just say we're at farmers markets every weekend. In fact, we're at Sacramento. We at the Midtown Market on Saturdays. And it's an opportunity to recruit volunteers, connect with your community. And we do the research, and we have flyers that have a QR code with a 2-minute ask that curates a message that people can step into, whether it's giving money or time. And whether it was Prop 50 or putting heat on vulnerable Republicans or the New Jersey, Virginia races, at the farmers markets, you can really connect with your community and engage with them, and they thank us for being there. So those are some of the things that I write about in the book, from joining a group to raising money virtually, or community connection at the Midtown Farmers Market on a Saturday in Sacramento.
Gary, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you. Take care.
You as well. Gary Lux is a progressive activist and author of the new book, We Are the Power, which lays out strategies for getting people more engaged in the political process. Still ahead, an annual celebration of music, camping, and family-friendly vibes in the Sierra foothills. The Father's Day Bluegrass Festival is tuning up for its 51st weekend. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.